are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays, and we're on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. This is March 4th, 2025. And on today's show, as promised last week, we didn't really get through all that stuff and Venus retrograde for sure, which went, Venus just went retrograde on March 1st. And so I wanted to take a little bit deeper dive. I wanted to spend a little bit more time with that. So that is what we're going to talk about today. And of course, we will touch base with the cosmic dance for this week, because there's stuff going on there too. But mostly we're going to talk about that Venus retrograde. And I hope that it doesn't bring a shadow on your heart. You know, you're not looking at it like, ugh. You know, personally, I'm not going to say I wish the planets were retrograde all the time, but I like it. You know, to me, it's like that parent-teacher conference. It's an opportunity to just, you know, take a breath and to look at something a little more consciously instead of just being on autopilot. So, you know, I think that's what Venus gives us the opportunity to do, and about some things in our lives that are really close to our heart. So don't go, ugh, you know, don't go, oh, Venus retrograde. You know, this can be a really positive thing. And remember too, these are natural cycles. Many people are born with Venus retrograde, Mercury retrograde, or any of the other planets. So, you know, maybe we have this artificial idea about what the correct or direct motion is. How do you know retrograde isn't the right motion? So I know, you know, and maybe I'm just spinning and that's what you guys are thinking. Hey, she's just spinning this. And I guess I am. But you know what? Life is about spinning. Our reality in many, many ways is exactly what we make it. It's what we choose to focus on. So that's what we're going to focus on today. And before we get started, I would encourage you to join me over in our private group on Facebook. That's the chat room that we use during our radio shows. And you can get there. One of the easiest ways is to go to 12radio.com and you click on that button that says chat. You'll be automatically redirected to Facebook. And if you haven't been in our group before, you can literally just request to come in. And Serena, who is our producer today, will let you come in. And I'll try to take a peek over there every once in a while and just say thank you so much. And if there are some questions, maybe I can address those. And if not, maybe I can address them next week, because I always take note of what people write in that particular page during the show, even if I can't talk about it right during the show. So this is the cosmic dance for the week of March 3rd. And I really do see it as the planets are up there dancing, and the music and the pacing and everything is different every single week, right? So the highlight for this week, one of the things I think you ought to be paying attention to or just be cognizant of, is that Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, that little guy who is, in a sense, always in our face because he moves very quickly. He's got an orbit very close to the sun. So like the sun, he's just always speeding around, or that's what it feels like to us. Well, Mercury moved into Aries yesterday. That was Monday, March 3rd, and went from Pisces, that very sensitive, creative, imaginative, spiritual kind of energy. And now he's in Aries, which is fire. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, because in fact, in this show, we're talking a lot about Pisces and Aries for a variety of reasons, but mostly because not only did Mercury enter Aries, but that's where Venus is now. And both of these planets are going to go retrograde. In fact, these two, we need to pay attention to them because they're going to be kind of holding hands. They're going to be playing. They're going to kind of, you know, be dancing around each other because both of them are going retrograde. And they're both leaving Aries and going back into Pisces during their retrogrades. Now, of course, their retrogrades are for different amounts of time. Mercury retrogrades for about 3 weeks and Venus retrogrades for about 6 weeks. So if you could see the chart, you know, and of course, if you watch Mark, That's a great thing because he's now live streaming on Mondays. I hope that you are watching his show, and maybe sometime in the future, no promises, but maybe sometime in the future, I'll be doing that too. But if you could see that software, the astrology, the two of them are just kind of dancing around each other as we look at the month of March and then going into spring. So, but right now we have Mercury into Aries. And so, you know, we're just feeling different. I mean, you know, Mercury in Aries is that kind of energy where it's quick thinking. Remember, it's the element of fire. So it's mentally restless. I mean, you might notice automatically your mind is just jumping from one thing to the next. Maybe people are talking fast, like me right now. I need to really think about this instead of just like, you know, boom, 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 boom. Under this influence, we want to check out new ideas, even if we don't stick with them for very long. And that's typical too, because Aries is going to kind of dip into some stuff and go, hey, let's check this out. Let's do this. Let's do this. Aries likes to check things out, likes to be on the go, likes to be on the move, wants to be passionate. You know, they don't like things being ho-hum. You know how sometimes, I mean, depending on your chart, you feel really, really comfortable with the familiar or with knowing what's going to happen. That's not particularly Aries. Aries says, I want to be passionate. I want a challenge. Show me something I can be, you know, I can be courageous about. Mercury in Aries is the mind of people like Albert Einstein and Leonardo da Vinci. It is the mind of people that invent things, who find things, who bring things to the surface. It's the mind of activists and those who are willing to push against what they see as unjust societies, unfair rules, and that sort of thing, like Martin Luther King Jr. was born with Mercury in Aries and Charlie Chaplin. Now, you may not know much about him, the latter, who is, you know, a movie star, but, and I'm not going to say he was a big time activist, but he really was. I mean, he was a person who really pushed up against the system for a variety of reasons, and seems like, I'm just going to say, there was always something going on with him when it came to the law. And Aries, Mercury is also the mind and voices of powerful speakers and writers, innovators and trailblazers. Now, I'll tell you, there's a lot of infamous people who have Mercury in Aries. They will go unnamed at this point in this show. I don't think we need to give them any more attention. But these are people that's it. They've got powerful voices. People listen to them, or, you know, they're blazing new trails. And people like Joseph Campbell, Shirley MacLaine, and Vincent van Gogh, you know, they're doing things that people pay attention to. Mercury in Aries, remember this, is independent and eager to formulate its own thoughts and ideas. Here again, when you think about Pisces is about unity. Pisces is about being part of the ocean, part of the group, part of that whole sense of the ethereal in life. Well, Aries kind of, you know, when you think about a planet moving into Aries, all of a sudden it just, you know, it steps out of the ocean and like a wet dog, it's shaking off and saying, you know, I want to run, I want to get dry. And so it's Aries is independent. Aries says, I want to differentiate myself from this collective. And remember that is very much how the kind of study and the idea of astrology works. Every single sign sort of takes care of or rebuffs the energy that came before it. And not because it was bad energy, but just says, you know, I need to mediate this a little bit. Maybe I got too sappy, or maybe I got too independent. You know, so as it goes from one to the next, you'll see that it's kind of doing this auto-correct. So when Mercury enters Aries, that's it. It is almost like that wet dog just shaking off and running into the sunshine. And that happened, like I said, yesterday. And so what is it going to do? It is going to differentiate itself. It's going to become independent. So there again, we might be talking about some things and feel like, wow, I've just been going along with the crowd. I've just been like mimicking my family or my friends or what I'm hearing, you know, on TV or whatever. You might find that all of a sudden people are just being more independent in their thinking or independent in their voices. And you're saying, hey, wait a minute, I thought you agreed with me. Well, part of this energy is just saying, I want to differentiate. I want to strike my own identity. So there again, some people, maybe they're just going to be ornery, you know, by saying some things. And like I said, just for the sake of being provocative like that. But with Mercury, and we are going to be, remember, talking about this for a while. And, you know, I know between my show and Mark's show and many other people's show, you're hearing all these dates. And I love the dates because I want to give you an idea of what's coming up. But I also recognize that it can be kind of overwhelming, like Mark is talking about February 7th and CA is talking about March 14th and blah, blah. Well, here again, what I'm going to tell you is I write an article for Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter, comes out every Saturday night. It's free. Well, one of the things you're going to find in there is a lot of these dates. You know, the dates that a planet goes retrograde, the dates that a planet changes from one sign to the next, the dates of a new moon, a full moon, an eclipse. When something important is going on, it's going to be in that article. So you know what? I think it was Mark Twain who said, you don't need, or maybe it was Albert Einstein. Somebody said, and in fact, both of them said something that was very similar, which is, you don't need to remember things that you can go look up. And you know what? That isn't the truth. So don't worry about all these dates. I just want to give you an idea of what's going on. So here, Mercury enters Aries, but it's going to retrograde on March 14th. So we have a couple weeks before Mercury goes retrograde. And then it's going to be at the end of March, specifically March 27th, when it moves back into Pisces. And following that retrograde, Mercury is going to come right back out and re-enter Aries on April 15th. And it's going to be there through May 10th. But one of the reasons I want you to have these dates is because I want you to realize, you know, ordinarily we're talking about Mercury kind of shooting through a sign in about 20 days, 21, you know, sometimes it's as little as 14 or 15 days. And now we're talking about the fact that we're going to have some Mercury and Aries energy or this whole pattern through May 10th. So see, this is, as we go into spring with these two retrogrades, Mercury and Venus, it's a different kind of ball game. These planets aren't moving quite as quickly. So remember, parent-teacher conference, it's our, or maybe if you just want to see it as your opportunity to journal or to just, you know, to meditate, it's our opportunity to drop out a little bit, but it's more like dropping into ourselves to think about some things. So here again, we're not going to really go Mercury retrograde today. We're talking Venus, but some of the ideas about a retrograde apply to most of the planets. Like for instance, you know, it's our opportunity to really take advantage of going deep with things, to go beyond superficial, you know, appearances, to seek a greater understanding of the planet, of the sign, or specifically of the things in our lives that are associated with those planets. That's where the real value is. And there again, there's lots of, you know, kind of threads that we can pull. But you might hear one or think about one and you go, that's the thread I'm pulling during this particular retrograde. So this is an opportunity, no matter what the planet is, but especially with Venus, it's about reevaluating our priorities. And by the way, Venus is going to be retrograde from March 1st through April 12th. Venus retrogrades for about 6 weeks. And here again, you know, check the power peak. You're going to know all the dates that it goes in and out. But a couple dates I will focus on. The first one is January 28th. And the reason I want to bring that up is because that's when Venus got to 24 Pisces. And that's important because during this retrograde, That's where she's going back to. She's going to start, you know, she started this retrograde at 10 Aries, but she's going to go 9 Aries, 8 Aries, 0 Aries, etc., and move right back into Pisces. And what they call that is the shadow. January 28th and forward was the shadow, because we know she's going to retrace those steps. That's where she's going back to. So here again, you don't need to remember exactly what was going on for you at that point. But as you're considering, as you're looking at things and things start coming up for you, and there again, it doesn't have to be an artificial process. You know, if things just all of a sudden occur to you or you think about them, then that's what you need to think about. Maybe that's what you need to focus on for this particular retrograde. But she passed 24 Pisces, Venus did, on January 28th. So it's not going to be that unusual if we start looking or feeling or thinking about things that for the most part were happening in February, and we're going right back to those and re-looking at them, maybe pulling a few threads, pulling a few strings, seeing what that's all about. And then she's going to do the retrograde between March 1st and April 12th, and it will be over completely, though, by May 15th. That's the end of the shadow. So what that means is once she goes direct on April 12th, we're going to have a little over a month to kind of reassemble all the ideas. Because I think, you know, that's how I see the retrogrades. It's like cleaning a closet. You pull everything out and you take a look at it, you categorize it, you decide what you're going to keep, you decide what you're going to give away, you decide what you're going to sell, whatever it is. But then you got to put it all back together. And you got to say, what's the new pattern? What's the new structure? So we do that through about May 15th. So just kind of keep that in mind. And there again, you don't need to get stuck on those dates. Okay, but it's nice to have them every once in a while. And I know for me, if something comes up, a lot of times I'll go back and go, oh yeah, I remember that's the day I got that call, or that's the day I met that person, or that's when I first found out about that class. It's just fun. And if it isn't fun, then leave it. Okay, this isn't meant to be hard. This is meant to be intriguing and interesting and fun. So Venus retrograde. Another reason I pay attention to Venus retrograde, of course, I pay attention to all the retrogrades, but you know, Venus doesn't retrograde every year. Remember, she and Mars, they're the only two planets that don't retrograde at least once a year. And so she retrogrades about every 18 months. So you know what? I like this opportunity to clean out this closet. I like this opportunity to kind of look at the things that are really valuable to me. And I think in the year 2025, it's particularly important because we have some of those outer planets. Remember, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, they're all changing this year. So I want to be ready for it. I want to have a clean closet. I want to have a structure ready to deal with this. So Venus is the planet of our values. And remember that. We easily say, yeah, this is love and romance and money. But it's so much more. Venus rules those things that are closest to our hearts. And as you look at Venus, there's a number of kind of handles that you can use. And two of them are Taurus and Libra, because Venus naturally rules Taurus and Libra. So if you know enough astrology, or you can look at your charts and say, where's Taurus and Libra? Those are some of the issues. Those are some of the strings that are going to get pulled during a retrograde when Venus is retrograde. And some of those issues are things like love and romance, our desire for partnership. And here's the word I want you to really think about: attractiveness. Venus is very into what's attractive, what's valuable, what's worthwhile. She's also, and this is kind of more of a Taurus thing, finances and resources, stability, security, especially financial, but all kinds of security. But in the Taurus level too, or in the Taurus realm, I should say, it's also the desire for work and productive activity that is in alignment with our values. Now, Capricorn is the sign that we often associate with work, and it is. But Taurus also is how we're building foundations in the world. Remember, it's a very grounded sign. And how are we building foundations? It often has to do with work. But it's in this case, with Venus being the ruler, we don't want to just do any work. We want to do something that's in alignment with our values. And I think I touched upon this before. If I didn't, though, you know, it is something that's always close to my heart. And that is that I kind of have this bias. It's not so much about having a job title that is in alignment with your values. It's being able to bring your values to your work. So, for instance, you may see yourself as compassionate or sensitive, or maybe you see that yourself as that person who I always make people feel good. Let's just say that that's, you know, that's what you see as your as a gift. Well, you know what? Is there any job in the world that you can't do that in? You don't have to be a counselor. You don't have to be an advisor. You don't have to have a job title that indicates that. You can do that as a cashier. You can do that in any job in the world. You can bring those values to that particular job. So I really do want to encourage you to see that. We are who we are. We come in, I do believe, with certain talents and skills and knowledge and abilities, but we add to them. You know, we become more expert at different things in our lives. But just because you don't have a job title that seems to match that doesn't mean that you're not being that person in that job. You always have a choice all the time to be exactly who you are and to bring your talents, your abilities, your specific gifts to whatever it is that you're doing. And it doesn't matter if you're getting a paycheck or if it's volunteer or if you're doing community service, it's, you know, whatever it is. But that Taurus says, I want to have work and productive activity that's in alignment with my values. So here again, Venus goes retrograde. Maybe we're thinking about that a whole lot more. But we don't always have to change our jobs to get a new job title just because we have a particular talent. Now, I'm not saying we don't change jobs, but just recognize the difference in that. You know, nobody's keeping you in a sense from using a certain ability in a job. And if they are, I mean, you know, but here again, like if you say, hey, I'm an artist, I really want to use art in my work. Yeah, then go find a job where you can do that. But it doesn't stop you from being an artist in the very metaphysical sense of the word in whatever job that you're in. So additionally, Venus is associated with beauty, artistry, creativity, culture, charm. She's also involved in sexuality. And one of the things I think we don't talk about Venus enough is fertility. She's actually, Venus is associated with the Tarot Empress. The Empress is the mother. So it is about developing, bringing something into the world. So fertility, either in the very strict sense, babies, children, or fertility in gardens, fertility in lots of places in our lives. But there again, you know, believe it or not, some people might say, hey, this Venus retrograde is all about fertility for me. We, you know, we're deciding whether or not we're going to have another baby and how that's going to happen. So those are some of the things that could come up too. So see, these are not necessarily really lightweight issues that come up during a Venus retrograde, but it gives you the opportunity to really look at them. You want to expand your family or you want to do something different? It's like you can really look at it now. You can look at it from a deeper level. Venus is about pleasure and enjoying the finer things in life. Being a partner, being part of a peer group. It's certainly about social life. So here again, if you feel like you've been somewhat of a hermit, you know, you're not out there socializing in the way that maybe you would like to, or maybe you're being too social. Maybe your life is just a whirlwind. Well, Venus retrograde says, you know what? Some evenings I just like to sit here and do nothing. Or maybe I want to read a book or listen to some music or just do something on my own. And remember too, these issues are the Pisces and Aries issues that we're going to be dealing with. I mean, certainly Venus rules Taurus and Libra. But the other issue specifically, and I would encourage you to look at your natal charts, where's Venus sitting? Where's Pisces? Where's Aries? And I say that because the Pisces may pull you into being more spiritual, you know, a spiritual discipline, or doing something very, very creative and imaginative. But Aries is the part of the retrograde when Venus is sitting in Aries that is saying, hey, but I want to differentiate. I want to be independent. You know, I'm kind of tired of always going along with the crowd and doing what everybody else wants, or wearing my hair like somebody else wants me to wear my hair, or wearing clothes just because somebody else says these are the fads, these are the trends, this is what's popular, right? So, see, these are all issues that might come up, and they're going to look very different for different people. So I'm going to talk about very quickly, what are the Pisces themes? Now, these are just a few, but Pisces themes are about intuition, psychic abilities, creativity, imagination. It's a focus on shared interests, being part of the collective. And oftentimes it's values that are associated with spiritual principles like unity, peace of mind, compassion, generosity, kindness, and generally I call it looking out for the other guy. And be aware too, the Pisces mythology is full of stories of sacrifice, and that's the kind of word that I think can go in all different kinds of directions. But sacrifice sometimes is what, you know, is what we do because we love somebody. We do bend our will to match theirs because we want to make them happy. We want to support them. But that's also a word that we have to really look at, because if we're sacrificing ourselves, that's where the Aries is going to come in. And it's going to go, wait a minute, I totally lost myself in this situation. So those struggles are definitely going to be there in relationships. You know, the differences between how much do I just want to lose myself in the collective and how much do I really want to take care of myself? So that's it. In contrast, Aries says, hey, I want to be independent. I'll take care of myself. I want to satisfy my need for adventure and challenge and to feel brave. So here again, if a relationship has gotten very routine, very dull, there's just, you feel like there's no adventure. Well, you can introduce adventure into a relationship. Doesn't mean you need to change it. Doesn't mean you need to do something different. Well, actually, you probably do need to do something different, because Aries says, I want a challenge. You know, I don't want to sit here on the couch every night watching TV. I want to do something different. So as you can guess, these are very different goals and needs between these two signs. And with both Mercury and Venus kind of bouncing back and forth between Pisces and Aries, we're trying to find the sweet spot. We're trying to find what that looks like. And once again, I'm not saying that retrogrades are always easy, because a lot of times important revelations come out of those retrogrades. You know, we kind of come to that place of going, yeah, I just wasn't seeing this before. Remember, a retrograde always gives you the opportunity to see something differently. So there again, you know, quit with anything like, oh my God, Venus is going retrograde, I'm going to lose my money, or this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. It's not about that. It's about looking at something differently, having the opportunity to take that breath, to look at things and say, how do I want them to be different? Now, for me personally, I also am really looking forward to this particular Venus retrograde, because Venus in this situation is going to have the opportunity to meet up with Saturn. Saturn's also in Pisces. See, so Venus already talked to Pisces. She got together, or not with Pisces, with Saturn. She already met up with Saturn on January 18th. Now, a lot of you there again, you're not going to go, oh yeah, I remember January 18th. But the idea is, ordinarily in a typical orbit, Venus is only going to meet up with Saturn once, right? And she's just going to do it for a day, and then she's gone. Well, now she's meeting up. She was there on January 18th. And when she goes retrograde into Pisces on April 7th, she's going to be back at the exact location where Saturn is sitting. And then when she moves forward again, she's going to meet up with Saturn a third time. And that's going to happen on April 24th. And this is why I think it's important. And, you know, a lot of people, I will admit, I'm not sure you're going to open an astrology book and go, oh, yeah, you know, they agree with CA. I'm not sure anybody agrees with me. But personally, in my experience, which has now been, 40 years of studying astrology, I think Saturn is very important when it comes to making commitments, making agreements, signing contracts, basically structuring something and saying, yeah, this is where I'm going to put my discipline. This is where I'm going to put myself. And I've told you before, oftentimes if I'm looking at somebody's chart and we're looking at the potential for a love relationship, an intimate relationship, if I don't see Saturn anywhere involved, if it's just like out to lunch, it's off doing its own thing. Oftentimes, I don't see that relationship as having any sticking value in that person's life. Now, I'm not going to say I'm not wrong, but I'm just saying that's what I see. And almost always when I see somebody get into a serious relationship, into a relationship that's going to have long-term implications in their life, I see Saturn involved somewhere. So personally, I like to see Saturn and Venus coming together whenever we're saying we're going to commit to something that's important to us in our life. Now, but I will admit, traditionally, like if you open up a book, if you look at some of the kind of traditional or old-fashioned, I'd like to call them, but you know, just the ways we have always looked at Venus coming together with Saturn, you're going to see, in a sense, some negative things. You're going to see that, you know, things like, oh, they're overly serious and cautious when it comes to love and commitment. Well, I don't know, being serious and cautious doesn't seem like such a bad idea. Now, if we're overly that, then maybe so. But it'll say things like, oh, these people have a difficult time choosing appropriate partners. They tend to be attracted to people who are older or more powerful. Well, there again, okay, yeah, maybe that's what you see when sometimes people, their ages are very, very different. You might see a person with Venus conjunct Saturn. They're looking for something more mature. They're looking for something that's already established. But one thing that I think we can take away from this is the balance in power in relationships is an ongoing issue with Venus conjunct Saturn. So what I'm thinking is, as we're looking at this Venus retrograde, and we know that Saturn is a planet that Venus is going to connect with three times, my guess is when you're looking at your own relationships, you know, what you're going to tell me, what you're going to be telling yourself is, yeah, there's a real imbalance in the power structure in my relationship, and I need to get this back together. I need to get this to a place where both of us feel very positive, both of us feel supported, both of us feel like where we need to be. Now, is this between a boss and employee? Is it between lovers? Is it between, you know, people that are married? It can be in all kinds of ways, but I'm telling you, that's one of the things you're probably going to feel. And if you feel like there's an imbalance in the power between you and another person, well, don't you want to look at that? This is your opportunity to really look at it. This is your opportunity to figure out maybe how to change that, how to shift it. Now, there is a possibility that you go, you know what? I don't think I can change this. I don't think this is going to shift. This person always either won't take responsibility in the relationship, or maybe they're always too controlling. Maybe therapy or maybe an awareness isn't going to shift this. Or maybe it is. Maybe you just go, hey, wait a minute here. You know what? The responsibilities are not even. Because that is a Saturn word too, responsibility. And you might just say, you know what? I don't like being on this teeter-totter. I want this to be a different balance. And remember too, balance is not equal. It doesn't mean that things are equal. It means that they feel like they're in the sweet spot, in the place where they're supposed to be. So maybe there is a shift that needs to occur between you and your partner. Maybe it's a shift in your own life between your own priorities, how much time you're spending in various activities that you feel like, you know, this just is not supportive of me. This isn't getting me where I want to go. So just note that. See, that's where I think Saturn's going to come in, and it's going to be incredibly helpful because it's going to help us look at those, you know, do we have too much discipline? You know, are we one of these people, we are just so structured, we just can't change the pattern any single day? Oh my gosh, I didn't get up at 6:15 and I didn't do my run for 2.4 miles or whatever it is. Are we too disciplined? Are we not enjoying our lives because we've gotten too structured, too organized, just over the top? Or is a lack of discipline really sabotaging our feeling happy and our feeling accomplished and our feeling what we want? So see, I think the Saturn connection is going to be very positive, because you know, when you get Venus and Saturn together, you're talking about loyalty and sincerity and being practical and keeping your promises. It's about discipline. And you know, the other thing too, if you look at a person who is born with Venus and Saturn in a good relationship or in some relationship, you know, and let's say that person's an artist. Well, that's the artist that works hard to make it happen. They're not the person who, oh yeah, they've got all this talent, but they never seem to do anything with it. You need Saturn. You need Saturn to do that. So see, there again, Venus says, what do I want? What do I value? What's worthwhile? And Saturn comes in and says, yep, and let me help you figure it out. I'm going to help you structure your life. I'm going to help you make decisions and agreements and commitments. And even if those promises are only to yourself, Saturn's going to come in and help you figure out how to make it real. You know, so it's not just pie in the sky, so to speak. Right? So I think that's going to be very, very positive. I truly do. And there again, I'm going to be writing about this in my article in Mars Power Peak. So once again, you don't have to worry about the exact dates, but just know that's part of the energy of the Venus retrograde. You know, looking at the balances in your life and how are you making those work or not work, you know? And so just pay attention. Pay attention to your own responsibilities. Have you just gotten really burdened down by responsibilities and you're just doing way too much? You know, you've just kind of gotten sucked into something. Or are you saying, you know what, I really want to step up and I really want to help with this. This is a responsibility that I want to take on. See, all those things can happen. It's not an either or situation. So here again, you know, kind of continuing with the theme, I always kind of get an overall feeling about what a retrograde is going to be. And certainly one of them does have to do with Saturn and its discipline associated with Venus. But what I'm really feeling too, like one of the first ideas that came to me when I started considering what is Venus retrograde in 2025 going to look like, I think it's going to be dilemmas, choices, and decisions. I mean, truly, I think a lot of people are going to feel like they're at a fork in the road. Like there's a choice to be made. And one thing I will say is, unless you absolutely have to, don't make a choice, you know, in a rushed fashion. You don't have to. This retrograde takes 6 weeks. It moves. It's going to give you opportunity to kind of clean out that closet and put everything back. Now, if you do need to make the decision, then do it. But I really do feel like that's what a lot of people are going to feel like. You know what? I just feel like I've got choices to make. I've got decisions, and these are important. Now, of course, I think this is typical because Venus rules Libra. And do you realize Libra is the one that has a hard time making decisions? In fact, if there's any sign that's considered indecisive, it would be Libra. And there again, if you look at the mythology, it, you know, is Paris who is faced with the decision. Zeus has put him in an almost impossible place of having to choose the best goddess, you know, the most wonderful goddess, the goddess who's the most wonderful of all. And Paris doesn't want to make that decision. So Libra too, that's why they make good diplomats or judges or facilitators and arbitrators, because they will go to great lengths to look at both sides of an equation. So I think that is what we're going to be faced with during this particular retrograde. But remember, some of these things, you know, I was kind of thinking about how this looks. And sometimes it's just because there's natural milestones coming up for us. You know, maybe you're turning 30 or 40 or 50 or maybe 65 or 70 or 80. Maybe there's something natural that's kind of happening that you go, you know what, I've reached this impasse. Maybe you've been in a particular particular career? You know, ever since you were a teenager, you know, did you let an 18-year-old choose your job? Maybe you've been in a career and now you're going, you know what? I want to do something different. I want to go in another direction. That is not an unusual thing to happen. Or maybe you're just reaching retirement in general. You know, you're going through a Saturn return that happens around 59 years old. You know, the first one is when you're about 29 and a half. And so maybe that's the one you're hitting. So maybe you're just hitting a natural impasse like that. Maybe you're one of those people, you're saying, I want to get married, or I want to start a family, or maybe your kids are going off to school. You know, it's grade school, high school, college. You know, you're an empty nester. Or maybe you've gotten divorced and you're really looking to start a new life. Or maybe you've lost a spouse or a significant other. And, you know, there's other milestones, too. Maybe you've been really accomplished. Maybe you've reached a financial goal. And so now you're saying, yeah, I finally want to buy that bigger car, that more expensive car, that bigger house, or whatever. I want to go on that trip. Or maybe you're saying, you know what, kind of been there, done that. I want to downsize. I want my life to be simpler. Now, obviously, there are thousands of examples that we could go through. But once again, everybody's going to have their kind of Venus retrograde, I think, decision making. You know, there's going to be some impasse in your life that you're saying, I'm at a crossroads and I need to change something. And eventually this is going to require some action on my part. Maybe not in the immediate, maybe not in the next couple of weeks, maybe not in the next 4 weeks, but I'm at a crossroads, an important crossroads in my life. And I know that I'm going to be making choices and decisions. So what I'm saying is don't let the crossroads scare you. Okay? Don't do that. I mean, try to avoid that. Just know that you and everybody else in the world is at some kind of crossroads, really thinking about things. So during this retrograde, consider your individual beliefs and desires and preferences. And as much as possible, do that outside the influence of other people. You know, can you kind of get off by yourself and just figure out what this is? You know, and maybe look for greater realism. There again, that's Saturn, maturity in your expectations about what you want to do next or what that's going to look like. If you're working or if you're in a relationship, look at the satisfaction level. You know, have you been sticking with something because you have this fantasy about what it's really going to be like and it just never has materialized? Well, maybe it's time to just own up to that and to really look at it and know that the better you understand yourself and your preferences and your desires, the easier it is to attract exactly who and what will make your heart glad. Now, think about that, too. We all have kind of that inner magnet. That's what Venus is about. That's what Neptune is about. It's about attracting to you what will make your heart happy, what you want. Well, if you're not sure exactly what that looks like, then you may be attracting all kinds of stuff. And I know some people, kind of on a psychological level, they look at what they're attracting because it gives them clarity about what their thoughts are. And there again, even if you're attracting something you don't really want, then you might want to look and say, why am I attracting that? Why am I attracting that? And you don't judge yourself. You just change it. You just say, you know what? I don't need to be the person that everybody depends on. Or I don't need to be the person that nobody depends on. You know, just look at what's going on in your life. And it's going to be a treasure trove, literally, of revelation. And remember, too, that Mercury is going to be that little playmate with Venus. So here again, I'm thinking what we're going to find, not only are we going to have crossroads during this time, we're going to have clarity. We're going to have mental clarity about what's going on, about what we want. Now, for yourself, you might want to check those houses in your chart. You might want to look at the Pisces and Aries houses, because that's where Mercury and Venus are going to be playing back and forth. But as far as Venus goes, you might also look at Taurus and Libra. You know, what's going on naturally in your chart with those particular signs? So, you know, we're getting close to ending our show today, and I want to leave you with some quotes, because people that have this kind of energy They're the ones, I just love the way they speak their charts. And this one I have told you before, but I think it is particularly important for retrogrades. And this is a conversation between Albert Einstein and some students. So the student says to Einstein, "Aren't these the same questions as on last year's final exam?" And Einstein says, "Yes, but this year the answers are different." And the reason I love that is because you would think in something, you know, that something's pretty concrete and not changing, but it's not. And in this case, it was a physics exam. But the more we know, you know, it's kind of like the world being flat or the world being not flat. It was flat until we knew that it wasn't. And so, yeah, haven't we been here before? Haven't we looked at these questions? Haven't we been at this crossroads? Or haven't we looked at this before? Yes. But this time the answers are different. So you might just want to kind of put that in your head. You know, what is that about? Maybe it's different. And of course, Albert Einstein was not born with either, I don't think either of those planets were retrograde for him, but he did have Mercury in Mercury in Aries. And I don't remember about Venus, but that's why I pulled that quote. Now, here's another one by Dane Rudger, and, you know, famous astrologer. And he had Sun and Venus in Aries. And he said, "When you don't follow your nature, there's a hole in the universe where you were supposed to be." And I like that too, because, you know, sometimes we feel like we just get lost in the mix. But the truth is, you came in for a purpose, you have a role to fill. And there's a hole in the universe when you're not really paying attention to who you are, what your skills are, what you're good at, you know, dare to be yourself. Venus in Aries, Mercury in Aries. And then I have, this is Venus in Aries by Abraham Lincoln. And of course, he often just makes me laugh, really, because, you know, there were several times he would make comments about his own appearance. And he said, "There's no bad pictures. That's just how your face looks sometimes." And, you know, he also said something about, "Of course, I'm not two-faced, because if I was, why would I be wearing this one?" So, you know, I think he just had a very humorous approach to appearance in general. But here's something more important that he said: avoid popularity if you would have peace. And see, how important is that? You know, it's that yanking of that chain, you know, of pleasing other people that is so disturbing to the balance in our life, so disturbing to our peace of mind. So avoid popularity if you would have peace. That's Abraham Lincoln, Venus and Aries. Now, I have a lot of other good ones. I'm not going to get to all of these, but I'm going to highlight a couple more. Queen Victoria, who had Venus and Aries. The important thing is not what they think of me, but what I think of them. And somehow I can really hear her saying that, you know? And I love that. That's it. The really important thing is not what they think of me, it's what I think of them. And I would even say more so, and what I think about myself. Now, here's a couple people who actually had Venus retrograde, not in Aries or Pisces, but it was retrograde. One of them was Winston Churchill. And he, you know, he just, of course, has lots and lots of really wonderful quotes. But this is the one that I think, you know, is pertinent at this time. "However beautiful the strategy, you should occasionally look at the results." And see, once again, what is he talking about? He's talking about that idea of, wait, let's take a look at this. Let's take another look. Yeah, we had a great idea. This looked perfect from the outside, the superficial, the, you know, the external. But no, no matter how beautiful the strategy, occasionally we need to look at the results. Are they really giving us what we want? So those are the closing thoughts for today. And so let's wrap it up. I want to say thanks so much for joining me. Thanks to everybody in, you know, the Facebook private page. I will go over and look at those comments. I know I didn't really pay too much attention to that today, but I will attend to that. I will put my attention there. So thank you so much for joining me there today, and to all the listeners, whether you're listening to this live or you're listening to the archives that's available on demand over at 12radio.com. And remember, there's about 6 months worth of shows over on that website. And I would encourage you to go. That's often how I listen to Mark, or I listen to a number of people. If I don't catch a show right away, I just listen to it a couple hours later. And or you can do it anytime. Just go over there, download the file, or just listen to it live. So you can go check that out. I would also encourage you to stay tuned today for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, who's coming up next. I also want to do a shout out to Serena, who's our producer. And like I said, she is looking into some new technology for us. So thank you, Serena, for doing that. And hopefully that will be seamless and in the background. Many of you will not even know that things are changing, but we are changing. And some of our advisors and some of our hosts are going, you know, streaming live on YouTube. So we'll see how that works out in the next few weeks, in the next year too. You know, I guess that's a Venus retrograde thing, right? Checking that out. So everybody, thank you for being here today. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks and 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to Venus.